Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hello, and welcome to Leap of Faith, the program where we talk with people about their spiritual journeys in order to gain insight and inspiration on our own spiritual journeys. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and I'm delighted to be here with you today. Have you ever read or experienced something a million times, and then suddenly you see it in a completely different light? All of a sudden, what you thought about someone or something looks completely different. Maybe you say to yourself, wow, I never saw it that way before, or I didn't even know that was there. Well, did something change? See, it's not the thing that has changed, but rather what you believed about that thing that has changed. The most profound example of this is something I have seen when coaching people on relationships. Whether it's a marriage relationship, a parent-child relationship, or even an acquaintance, what you believe about a person determines how you feel about them. Whether you love, like, or even hate someone totally depends on what you believe about them. Change your belief about that person and you can completely change your relationship with them. This simple concept has completely turned around marriages. I use the word simple. It's a simple thing, but it's not necessarily easy. After all, how do you change a belief? Isn't a belief something that just happens? Isn't it a feeling? Well, how you feel is directly related to what you think. You can't have a feeling without first having a thought. So, to change a belief, you have to change how you think about that thing or person. And before you can do that, you have to be open to the idea that maybe your belief is not correct. And that's a hard thing to do. Well, on today's episode of Leap of Faith, I'm going to be speaking with Kenrianne Davis, a woman who suddenly saw a verse she had read a million times in a completely different light, and it turned her world upside down. When we come back from the break, we'll hear Kenrianne's story. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hello, and welcome back to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and today I'm speaking with Kenrianne Davis, a woman whose entire family is on a journey to Torah. Hi, Kenrianne. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Penina.
It's a pleasure to have you, and I'm just so excited to be able to have you share your journey with us. Now, Kenrianne, what is your family background? How were you raised?
I was raised Southern Baptist, and we did also Pentecostal as well when I was little, but very evangelical, you know, traditional Christian family. That's how I was raised.
Okay, so your family was not Jewish, right?
No. Although, looking back, my great-grandmother did some rather interesting things for a woman who immigrated to New York from Puerto Rico, where she would, you know, salt her meat. When someone died, she covered the mirrors, you know. Just very interesting things that she would do on a Friday, too, like bake things like bread and like candles, you know. And she was very well-known for her stuffed cabbage rolls, which really isn't typical fare in Puerto Rico. Let's just go that way.
Yeah, that doesn't strike me. Well, it does strike me as kind of classic Eastern European. It doesn't strike me as anything having to do with Spanish or any Hispanic culture at all. No. So then you're guessing that somewhere in your background you had Spanish Jewish ancestry that got hidden because of the Inquisition or persecution or something, huh?
Well, yeah, we thought that actually. And then when my sister got her DNA results, to our surprise, no Sephardic at all, but Ashkenazi and tons of Russian. And we couldn't believe that because we never thought we had that at all.
You know, it's interesting. I didn't know this, but I learned that actually quite a lot of Spanish students, whether you're talking about from Spain, I mean, there's not so many Jews in Spain now, but Puerto Rican, Mexican, South American, Argentinian, even though you think that because it's Spanish, it must be Sephardi, a good percentage of Spanish or Hispanic Jewry is actually Ashkenazi because, you know, persecution from Europe goes back way, 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 way back. So in a lot of cases, even though the family came from Spain, they didn't originally come from Spain. They originally came through Europe. And so they have more of an Ashkenazi background. So that could explain what you discovered. But you didn't discover that early on in your journey, right? That's a more recent discovery?
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. It was only like maybe 3 years ago.
Ah, okay, cool. So that kind of gave you an explanation as to what was going on in your head and your heart, huh?
Yes, exactly.
All right, so you were raised in a Christian home. And tell me about your journey. Where did you go from there? You got married, I assume. How old were you when you got married? Were you young or older?
25. And then my husband was 19. And I was more spiritual than he was. And he went to church because I went to church. And he never really accepted as much as I did. He always had a lot of doubts, a lot of questions. And he reacted in a way towards God in a way I never thought you could be angry. I mean, you just didn't do that as a Christian, you know, or question when something didn't go your way. So we went the whole gamut. We started out as, you know, Southern Baptist. We did Independent Baptist because we were really always searching. We never felt like we were, like nothing really clicked. And we were always asking questions. And we would get to a point when people wouldn't have the answers for us. And then they were just thinking that we were more rebellious or, you know, not following traditional roles. We're just too inquisitive. So then we went Pentecostal as well. We did Presbyterian and then non-denominational. And finally, we found something called Hebrew Roots or Torah Observant. And that was more of a recognizing that Jesus having Hebrew roots or Jewish background. So we really embraced that and started, you know, with observing the Jewish festivals where we said, oh, they're not just Jewish festivals, they're God's festivals. And since we believe in the Bible, that we should be doing that as well and doing Shabbat the best that we could. And, you know, but now that we're on the other side of it, where we're converting to Judaism and we've left behind that belief in Jesus, we realize how we weren't doing anything close to that.
Okay, so when you were involved in the Torah Observant or Hebrew Roots, now, what's the difference between that and what people call Messianic Judaism?
I think where I was coming from, it wasn't like we met at a church or a synagogue. It was more like at home groups, and sometimes we'd take turns, but we would do the Parsha. But again, it was very Christian bent, and you also would do the Haftorah would also consist of New Testament readings. And it's funny to say that now, but at the time, I didn't think it was so smart. And yeah, that's how it was. And, you know, you had to call it Oneg and afterwards to have food. It was just Christianity. I like to say it's Christianity with a twist is all it is.
Okay, but that's pretty much what most people who are familiar with Messianic Judaism would identify as Messianic Judaism, right?
Yes. And I would honestly, that's what I tell people, because when you get into the whole Torah Observant Hebrew Roots, I mean, that's, you know, people are just more familiar with the Messianic. And that's why I just say that.
Sure. And even for us, you know, my listeners all hear me say this almost every week, but we were very involved in the Messianic movement and had our own Messianic congregation. And I always regarded people who referred to them as Hebrew Roots as kind of being some weird offshoot cultish kind of group.
Yes. And now looking back in hindsight, I agree.
How did you find this Hebrew Roots group that you got involved with?
A friend of mine, we used to work together in Maryland. She retired to Arizona. My husband got a job in Arizona. We got together and she shared with me. And the first time she mentioned it, it just didn't really click. And then we met together again like a month later and it did. Like it just, oh, well, this makes perfect sense. Of course, you know, Jesus is Jewish and we should be doing things that Jewish people do. So it just, it made perfect sense. And since we were constantly searching for deeper things within the Bible and searching great things with God, you know, just, it was a natural progression for us.
Okay. I think nowadays about the fact that the Torah says that God told the Jewish people that Shabbat, for example, is a sign between him and the Jewish people. And it never occurred to you that it might not be for non-Jews?
Well, no, because as a Christian, you know, that we replace that, you know, with the new covenant. It sounds so horrible to say, but that's where I was then.
Yeah, and I think that's perhaps an important point to bring out for our listeners is that there are a significant portion, I won't say all, but a significant portion of Christianity and Christian form groups, such as Messianics, who really do believe that all of the promises in the Tanakh that are made to the Jewish people have been transferred to Christians because Christians, especially it says in Romans 11, that they are grafted into the tree, which is supposed to be Israel. Mm-hmm. So in their minds, they are now Israel. Even if they haven't replaced the Jewish people, they certainly consider themselves part of the Jewish people in some kind of odd way, right?
Yes, like grafted in, exactly.
Okay, so you're going to this Messianic congregation, and how long were you involved in this Hebrew Roots alternative group?
Almost 4 years.
Okay, so then what happened?
Well, on Facebook, of course, that was my biggest community with these type of believers was through Facebook, because we're spread out all over the world, and not many mainstream Christians believe like that, so you're considered, you know, a heretic and Judaizer, you know, a term my pastor father called me. So a friend of mine on Facebook, she had mentioned that she left Jesus. And, you know, me being the good Christian I was, I'm going to try to save her from this fatal error of eternal hell. So I reached out to her and I wasn't the type that would shun anyone. I wasn't like that. So I said, well, who or what are you studying? And she gave me all these verses from the Tanakh where God said that he's one and salvation comes through him alone and that he will share his glory with no other. And I'm like, okay. And I called my sister, I'm like, we got to pray for Lori. And as I'm reading these verses again to my sister, it was Hashem gave me ears to hear and understanding and my sister said she could hear the light bulb go off over my head as I'm reading it. And it was like, oh my goodness, I finally got what he's won. He's it. And maybe this is a Christian concept, but that's where I was, is I repented of thinking like that. And I made teshuva right then and there. And that was it. I left him, you know, JC in the dust and I haven't looked back.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, that's really a big question that has to be dealt with. Even I was talking with family a month ago. We made a trip to America to visit my husband's family, which is all Christian. And, you know, if you said to them, but it says that he alone is our savior, if you will, in their minds, believing in Jesus is God alone, even though they have this concept of three in one, they don't see it as being a multiple of God.
Right. And I didn't at one time either. So that's why I couldn't hear it before, couldn't see it. But honestly, it had to be Hashem that gave me ears to hear, because I read those verses countless times before and never saw that before.
Right. Okay. So you got these verses from your girlfriend and you read over them. And as you're sharing them with your sister, this light bulb goes off and you say to yourself, wait a minute, this isn't right.
And I mean, I've had a lot of questions. Well, then your faith really wasn't true. You know, you really didn't believe in Jesus. But that's not true. If you knew me, I did. But it's kind of like when you find out when your parents tell you that they're really Santa Claus, you don't really care about Santa anymore. And that's how I felt about JC. I just, maybe he existed, maybe he didn't. But for me, he's not divine. He's not Hashem. So.
All right. We're reaching the end of our time for the first segment. So I'm going to stop you right here. When we come back, we'll hear more of Ken Rianne's story. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Kamina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to the second segment of Leap of Faith. I am your host, Penina Taylor, and today I'm speaking with Ken Rianne Davis, who before the break was telling us about how she came to the realization that certain passages in the Bible, in the Tanakh, were pointing to the idea that God and God alone, not Jesus, but God alone is the one that we should be worshiping and we should turn to. Ken Rianne, thank you so much again for joining us. Why don't we continue from where you were at? So you made this decision, then what?
Well, then my sister was, you know, taken aback. She was pretty quiet about it all. And I felt like I was going to burst if I didn't share with people. So I had like a little core group of, again, Facebook friends. And I thought for sure, you know, I'm going to share with them. I'm going to share this great truth and, oh my goodness, this revelation, if you will. So I share with them, and believe me, it was not what I expected.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting them like, oh my gosh, Ken Rianne, you're right. Yes, I see that too. So when, you know, and we were all always studying, you know, and sharing insights and things like that and teachings. So when they didn't glom on and rally behind this, I was, but I couldn't shake it. You know, it was so deep inside this truth in me that I knew it wasn't wrong, but they didn't agree. So this is a big thing for me personally, where I felt more safe when people would rally behind me. Or so for me, this was indicative that this is a path that I'm going to have to go on, at least initially alone, no matter what anybody else said. So they didn't, you know, they were really worried for my salvation. When you have such, you think you're such close friends, and because you don't share a belief in who the Messiah is or who you think the Messiah is, I mean, they'll turn on you. And they did. I was unfriended, blocked, called a heretic. You know, your faith just wasn't there. And it was really disheartening. And then it was like a witch hunt on Facebook where people were saying stuff about me. And it was just, it just shocked me that all we had in common was, you know, JC. It was eye-opening, to say the least.
Did you feel kind of lonely? And
yes.
Were you able to find anybody who agreed with you?
Well, the little group that we belonged with here when we moved to San Antonio, I called them that Saturday. And I said, look, I won't be able to come to your meetings anymore. And well, why? What's wrong? And I told them what I've been studying and hoping that they would see. And of course, they didn't. And I said, look, I'm still studying all this out. And well, then we're sure, Ken Rianne, that you'll be back and you're going to leave this craziness behind, which I didn't. And the whole group turned their back on me. And but one of them, her name is Lauren, she called me, I guess, I don't know, almost a year later, not quite, But and she just said, you know, she apologized, asked for forgiveness, and said, look, I'm studying out too, and I actually see what you're seeing. So that made me feel good. And not that I needed that to believe, but it made me feel good that there was somebody, because for the whole time it was like unfriending left and right. And for me, I'm very sensitive and I took it to heart, but you know, now it's okay. But at the time, you know, I thought I was really friends with these people and
What about your extended family? You mentioned your sister, but what about parents and other extended family?
Okay. My father is the only one I have left, and he is a pastor. And you can imagine this went over like a lead balloon.
So, yeah.
You know, and I think the way my dad raised me is I'm always searching, you know, I always have to research and get back with him to him to give him the answer. That's how I was raised. So it helped me to really dive in and not be afraid to study and to find out no matter what it is, what it looks like. But when I give my father this, you know, he couldn't accept it. You know, he just, again, heretic, you just lost your way. I knew you were going to do this. You know, he kept saying that even before when I was messianic, but it's what it is. And his sister, his older sister, converted to Judaism back in the early 90s.
Oh,
so
interesting.
He was convinced that she... Yes, so he was convinced that she had brainwashed me in some way, but she never did, of course.
Did you make contact with her at this point?
Oh, yeah. And I thanked her profusely for lighting the way in our family, for being a, you know, trailblazer and just showing that it was okay to break away from these norms in our family, which was evangelical Christianity, that it was okay to pursue other things and, you know, we can still be family. So I really thanked her for that and thanked her for doing that, and especially the Judaism. So she was, it's a really special bond we have now.
Wow, awesome. Okay, so what about the rest of your family, your children and your husband?
Okay, so that night, I'm like, oh, how did I bring this up? So I just did, and my husband's looking at me. He's a very logical person. And when I showed him everything, he was like, this makes sense. Now, nothing else before, he said, you know, don't take this the wrong way. This is why I could never believe before like you were. He was, there's that term in Christianity, like sold out for Jesus. And mm-hmm. he never was, or I was. And so he's like, but Judaism absolutely is logical to him. And it's logical to me too, but it, you know, he could really understand it and he got it. So we told our children that night and the kids were really quiet. And
how
my daughter,
how old were they?
She was 14 and he was 12 at the time.
Okay.
So, she very quiet and she felt like she didn't like, mom, I felt like I didn't even know who you were, but she slept on it. He slept on it. And the next morning, they said, you know, I think so. And they had shared with me how every time in church, how they, especially my daughter, they're very sensitive to, I don't know, spiritual things. And they always felt creeped out. Those are their words, by Jesus, always. They just felt like that was really weird that, I don't know, with the dying and the coming back to life and eating his body, drinking his blood, they just always were weirded out about that. And my daughter especially was petrified that she would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit and have a baby. That just freaked her out so bad.
Right. So if it happened once, it could happen again, huh?
Exactly. So she was really relieved that Judaism doesn't believe like that. And again, everything being logical, no spiritual gymnastics, you know, just what it is. It's very refreshing. And we feel much more calmer as individuals and as a family.
Okay, so now you guys have discovered that what you had believed, you do not believe is the truth anymore, and you started looking into Judaism?
Yes, we did. And I was so scared. I didn't know what to do because, you know, you're told that, you know, Jewish people don't want anything to do with Christians and ex-Christians, or they're not into converting people. So I thought I was stuck. I really didn't know what to do. So we had listened to a lot of teachings by Rabbi Tovia Singer and Rabbi Michael Skoback, and even testimonies like you, Panina. We watched your testimony and many others like you. and we realize that we're not alone and there are paths to follow. So I called up the local shul and we, you know, they're like, okay, this is different. This is, you know, I told them everything. So they were really like intrigued and invited us. And it's been wonderful ever since. The community here in San Antonio is small, but it's very fluid and everybody knows everybody, no matter what movement of Judaism you're involved with. Everybody's just warm and welcoming.
All right. So do you have any stories to share? Anything that kind of pops out in your mind that maybe our listeners might find either interesting or inspirational or be able to connect with?
I felt like I wasn't going to be accepted. You know, that was my baggage bringing it in. And then I heard the story about how, you know, the Jewish people are like the sheep and the king hears that the deer come in to the flock of sheep, and how the shepherd tells the king, and the king says, make sure that the deer are comfortable and they can stay. So when I found out that that's kind of like us, you know, people that choose Judaism, it made me feel, but I was chosen by Hashem. He gave me all this and my family, and I'm just very grateful to him. And it does. I mean, this is nothing on my own doing. He did this all. And I'm so very, very thankful to him. And it's everything that I've been searching for my whole life, everything. And here it is. And I'm just so thankful. I can't say more than that.
Okay. So you and your husband and your children are all in the process of converting to Judaism then, right?
That's correct. Yes, we are. And it's been a bit of a rocky road. We started out Reform and realized that wasn't for us. And we tried Orthodox, Modern Orthodox, and we're there for 6 months. And there's just things that just aren't working out for us at this time. So we are now converting with Conservative Movement, and we will be finished by the end of May. So we're really excited for this over a year-long process, you know, to be completed. It'll be about a year and a half when all said and done. But, you know, you never stop. I mean, that doesn't mean I know everything about Judaism. I'm going to continue learning and growing. And, you know, that's the children of Israel. And, you know, that's, we're always going to be learning. So I love that aspect of Judaism where you're encouraged to learn and question. And I love it. It's wonderful.
Do you ever foresee you and your family going to Orthodox Judaism, or do you think that conservative is where you belong?
Conservative now, because this is just like our stepping stone. And yes, I do believe that is a natural progression that's going to happen. When? I don't know.
Okay, we are at the end of this segment. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Kenina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentico, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Okay, hi, and welcome back to the last segment of today's Leap of Faith. I'm your host, Penina Taylor. Today I'm speaking with Ken Leanne Davis, who before the break shared in the first and second segment with us about her journey to Torah Judaism. She and her family are all in the process of converting to Judaism. Welcome back, Kenryann. During this last segment, Kenryann and I are going to have a little conversation about some of the things that she went through and what was going on in her mind. And hopefully you'll be able to find something in her experience that you will find helpful. So Kenryann, during this process, did you have any doubts? Did you ever say, whoa, wait a minute, I mean, I know that I don't believe this anymore, but I'm just not sure about this. Am I really on the right path?
Yeah, of course. It's just natural that, because also I think that fear is instilled in you, like, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe in this guy. And so, I mean, that would niggle in the back of my head every once in a while. But, you know, I had to keep focusing on those verses in the Tanakh and holding fast to that. And I guess before, when I was a Christian, it was a lot more of this ooey gooey feelings, you know, and more confirmations, if you will, like almost supernatural. It's odd to say it out loud now, but at the time I truly believed it. And when I came to Judaism, I didn't have that anymore. I didn't have those warm fuzzies like before. Like, I knew that was like my green light telling me, oh yeah, that's the way to go. And that's the way you should pursue it. And that, hello. I mean, I didn't even, it was just so weird to me because that was like my whole relationship before, but now it's completely nothing.
So looking back on that, how have you reframed those experiences? I mean, I know, for example, in my case, you know, people asked me about, I thought I was speaking prophecy and now I don't believe that it was prophecy. What do I think about it?
Yeah, exactly. And it just turns everything on its head. And I just know that wasn't the right direction before. I know that for sure. It does not line up with the Tanakh. And now I don't have to rely on those warm fuzzies, or I can just, again, the logical direction of Judaism. I can just rely on what Hashem has said in his word, and he doesn't change, you know, he just, right. He doesn't change. So that has been very helpful. And that's what I hold on to. And I know that that is what he has used to grow me away from the Christian thoughts, and because I did bring that with me, you know, that whole mindset. And but to strip that away and learn all of that, and then to relearn how to be a Jewish person, it's been frustrating at times, but overall it's been very fun and exciting. And I like this new person, and I'm really excited about picking out my Hebrew name. And it's been, and this is interesting, that it's been said twice by two different women that don't know that this was a name I thought of, but it was Eliana. So my little spiritual journey, if you will, started with the death of my first son 17 years ago. And when I came home from the hospital that night, I started reading in the Tanakh about King David, when he lost his baby with Bathsheba. And he said, you know, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. So that gave me comfort. And that just started my quest, if you will, of, you know, just being the best mom I could be to our son Alexander that passed away. So, you know, he uses all sorts of things. I'll say that. And just everything leading up to this has, it's just been a tremendous experience so far. It's been wonderful. And I'm really excited about what's coming next too.
Sure. You know, when I was involved in Christianity, I always kind of saw things as Christianity is about love and Judaism is about fear. And they always couched it like in that kind of a context, that the God of the Old Testament was about obedience and consequence and judgment, whereas, you know, in the New Testament, he kind of shifted the way he works with people, and it's all about love, and everything that he did was about love. But coming from now the other side and looking back, one of the things that you mentioned was this, in regard to doubts, was this fear that, what if I'm wrong? If I'm wrong, I'm going to burn in hell forever. And that's a really huge, huge, not only question, but a huge weight. And at some point on my Jewish journey, I realized that things are actually, we say, hafuch, upside down. that the truth is that Christianity, it seems to me anyway, is relying on this fear that if you don't believe in Jesus, that you're going to burn in hell forever. And so people are afraid to even reconsider what they believe because of this fear of burning in hell forever. Whereas because Judaism doesn't have the same concept of hell, and Judaism teaches that the righteous of all nations have a place in heaven or eternal life, you know, we're not actually motivated out of fear. It's much more about the relationship and much less about punishment in the afterlife.
I think you're absolutely right. And when I was reading through, especially Ezekiel 18, where you just make teshuva, and it's Hashem is good to everybody. If you're a righteous person, there you have a place in the world to come. And that made so much more sense, and that is more in line with a loving God, that, you know, he's not going to arbitrarily, you know, get rid of someone just because they didn't believe in the Savior and punish you because you didn't believe in him, you know, and he died for your sins for the whole world. And, you know, it just didn't make sense, but this did, and this just made more sense to me. And it was, again, very more peaceful. You just felt more peace about it. And it just wasn't the fear tactics anymore. So that has just been really refreshing for not only me, but my whole family, not to have that intimidating fear anymore. Like, yeah, you're not a good person. And we really like that. Our first Yom Kippur, you know, that was, wow, that was really something. It was very emotional. It was very exhausting, but it was very refreshing too. Our whole family, it was, I don't know, you really felt the heaviness of what you have done in, you know, throughout the year, and to really make teshuva to Hashem and to, you know, make the wrongs right, or if you've hurt anybody, and to really talk about that with even within our own family, like things that we've done as parents to our children and vice versa, and just everyone within the dynamics of our family. I love that. My goodness, it was just a real special time. And I think, I'm sorry, like as Christians, I think people are really missing out on that because it's very, very special.
You make a really good point. And one of the things that has come up for a discussion between me and family that is Christian is they've asked the question of, you know, what about sin and hell? And, you know, how do you get forgiveness? And I try to explain to them that, yes, during the time when the temple was standing, you had to bring an offering for sins. But the only way to receive forgiveness for your sins has always been teshuvah, has always been repentance.
Always.
You could not bring a sacrifice without repentance and get forgiveness. But you could ask for forgiveness. You could repent even without a sacrifice and receive forgiveness, which we get from the story of King David when he was talking to the prophet and he realized, you know, I am the man, that this story is about me. And it says that the prophet immediately told him that God had forgiven him. There was no sacrifice involved in that moment. Some people, I think, are mistaken to believe that we only ask for forgiveness once a year on Yom Kippur. And the truth is that anybody who's been involved in Judaism for any length of time knows that we are constantly asking God for forgiveness.
Yes, daily.
Yeah, exactly. It's an everyday thing. So that's the answer. That's how we deal with sin and hell, the way that it's always been dealt with, which is through repentance. If we do repentance immediately, then we are considered, like it says about King David, as a righteous person, even though we have done something wrong. If we've repented right away, then that is the definition of righteous. Okay, Kenryan, in these last few minutes, maybe if you'll tell us a little bit about what has changed in your life since you've embarked on this journey, and if you have any last words for our listeners who might be able to identify with you and where you've been.
Well, I would encourage you to keep asking those hard questions and to not be afraid to where God takes you, even if it's out of your comfort zone, especially if it's out of your comfort zone. And even if he takes you away from everything that's familiar, you're not the only person he's done that to. I mean, look at Abraham. We took him away from his family. But there's so much blessing and wonderful things. I'm not talking about materialism, but I'm just talking about in the spiritual level. And you're just elevated. I just never thought that this could happen. And it's like I said before, it's everything that I have prayed for. And is it everything perfect? No. But I have a relationship with Hashem. I have a relationship with my family, my immediate family, that I've never had before. And to me, that's worth everything in the world. And my life is so different. I'm talking to you, and that would have never happened before. And it's just wonderful. So I'm really grateful. Very grateful.
Oh, thank you so much. We're also grateful that you shared your story with us. Unfortunately, now it's time to say goodbye, but I'd like to thank you for sharing your journey with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed my time with you.
And we with you. Okay, you've been listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to be in touch, you can email me at Penina@Israel News Talk Radio. That's PENINA@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Thanks for being with me today, and I'll see you next time when we take a leap of faith together here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.